So we are going to be reflecting on this passage in Acts chapter 26 where Paul's on trial, but he describes in there how Jesus has risen to shine. And we'll reflect on some of the passages that lead to that thought. Jesus is the risen and shining star. And just to remind us what Paul's doing there, he's giving a testimony to his faith in front of Festus, a governor, a Roman governor, and Agrippa, a Jewish king. And what we see in Paul as he's giving his testimony there on this kind of a trial court setting, it's like giving a hearing, he's calm. And he has a steady mind and heart. It's a teeter-totter with a heart and a brain. Steady mind and heart. He was steady. And he was testifying that Jesus is God's Messiah. And that he would suffer. I don't know why that's not working. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross. But then he would rise. Death could not hold him. Rejoice in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is bringing a message of light to his own people as the light of the world. As the scriptures say, as Jesus himself says, I am the light of the world. It's one of the great I ams of the Gospel of John. And then not only to the Jew, but also to the Gentile. Paul himself was a Jew, Pharisee among Pharisees, and he preached to the Jews. He spoke in every synagogue he could find, but he also planted churches all over the Gentile world at that time in proximity to Jerusalem. But now, how about us? The world now is a place in which we bring the light to shine, a light which is beyond the sun, a light which shines no matter the darkness, a light which brings healing to our soul and shows us the way home. To be a bearer of the light is a solemn and holy duty for every one of us. As this message here says, let the light of Jesus shine through you. Great song, this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let us pray a moment. Dear God, thank you that you meet us in the reading of the Word, in the study of the Word, in taking the Scriptures and saying, Lord, teach us, show us the way. And you are the light to our feet. You show the path ahead. And we pray that this scripture we read may be convicting to us and enabling to us and strengthening to us, that it may help us in having the fertile soil in which you bring a good and abundant harvest from. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, in this passage, let's read that. The trial really is a long passage, the whole thing where Paul is arrested in Jerusalem. They put a plot against his life. He gets escorted by a Roman guard into the city of Caesarea, where there's a palace and a court, and they're trying to protect him from a conspiracy to murder him by his Jewish opposition. And then they say, we're going to have a hearing with Paul. We're going to hear him out and see, because he's appealed to Caesar. He's going to go to Rome and Caesar. That's what he has the right to do as a Roman citizen. He's born in Tarsus, Paul of Tarsus, of Cilicia. That's the province. And he has the right to say, I'm going to Caesar, and Caesar's going to hear my case. And these guys want to hear what his charge is because they want to write a letter and accompany that and say, it's reasonable to know what are the charges against Paul. And we're going to see at the end of the passage that they say there's really no reason for this. So then here we pick up the story in verse 19. So then King Agrippa, that's the Jewish king, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven, first to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles. I preached that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds. That is why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day. So I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and as the first to rise from the dead would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. "You're out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane." And then Paul replies, "I am not insane, most excellent Festus." Paul replied, "What I am saying is true and reasonable." He keeps his cool. He's calm, as I said. "The king is familiar with these things. He's Jewish. He knows about Jewish teachings. He probably knows all about the debate between Sadducees and Pharisees who got into a big argument over the resurrection in Jerusalem. And Paul speaks to him and says, "You're familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I'm convinced that none of this has escaped his notice because it was not done in a corner." Verse 27, "King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do." Paul is appealing to him in a reasonable way, and he knows that King Agrippa is thinking about these things. He's beginning to wonder. The wheels are turning in his brain, and Paul is speaking to that. Then Agrippa, in public, is defensive to Paul, and he says, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" So he puts up a wall of defense. Paul replied, "Short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." He's sharing the gospel. May you all become, what is Paul? Follower of Jesus Christ. And so then the king rises, and with him the governor and Bernice, governor's wife, and those sitting with them, audience, there's more people in the room. And after they left the room, they began saying to one another, "This man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment." They hold the power of death and imprisonment for him. They can banish him. 20 years in jail, Paul. They can have him executed. And Agrippa then says to Festus, "This man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar." But one of the things in the scripture before, in the context of chapters 24 and 25, is the Lord himself speaks to Paul and says, "You are not only going to testify in Jerusalem, I'm going to have you testify in Rome." So Paul knows his destiny is Rome, and he's content with that. These are just people who think they have some power, but God has ultimate power. So the passage that I think of immediately is Malachi 4, verse 2, one of the last verses of the Bible, of the Old Testament. Malachi 4, verse 2. "For you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings," or rise with healing in its rays. That's another way of translating that. "And you will go out and frolic like well-fed calves." Here's a frolicking calf. He says, "You're going to experience joy at the news that Jesus is risen. He's going to bring great joy to us." And of course, there are other passages that come to mind, including what Paul maybe was meaning to refer to when he spoke to Agrippa. Isaiah chapter 9, "A light will come shining in the darkness. A people walking in darkness will see a great light." It's the great Christmas passage. We always read that at Christmas time. Or we can turn to the first chapter of the Gospel of John. John testifies that the light has come into the world and the darkness cannot overcome it. The light shines and the darkness has no power over it. And then finally, Jesus says himself, he is the light of the world. Now, when this passage of Malachi says, for you who revere my name, that's having God in reverence, it's referring to ones who have faith. Because the revering of God's name is faith. You're trusting in him. It's a wonderful representation of it. Just a man on his knees praying to God. And when you are one who reveres his name, your heart is given to the Lord and you put him first in all that you do. And do you know that the human heart is made for this commitment? It actually is constructed to have the commitment to the Lord, the Maker, the Creator, and the Redeemer. That, you know, one writer said you have a hole in your heart that needs to be filled by God. Because otherwise, if you don't have God there, you'll try to fill it with other things. So we have this need for this attachment to God. We need to be attached to him just as much as an infant needs to be attached to its mother. We as human beings need to be attached to God, to be in a love relationship with him. And the Son of Righteousness that Malachi talks about is Jesus. That's the fulfillment of the prophecy. And where his light shines, healing comes to be. Healing. The Lord himself will heal in every situation. And where love in Jesus' name is established, healing starts and has a way of taking over. Now, again, I'm going to turn to another passage talking about Jesus being the light. Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. My angels come to give John the testimony of Revelation, the book. But Jesus then says, I am the root and the offspring of David, and I am the bright morning star. The bright morning star. That's Jesus saying he is the star. As I said, he is not only beyond the sun, he is the destination of all things. And so what happens, if there is no light, then darkness rushes in to fill the vacuum. The light of Christ shines in a dark world, for sure. But the rising of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus in the resurrection, begins the shining of a righteousness without limit and with ultimate, final, reconciling power. You experience in Jesus the prophetic battle between light and darkness. That's why he is resisted and opposed and he has troubles and they're trying to accuse him and they're trying to tear him down because through the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all the smaller prophets, there's always this prophetic battle between light and darkness. Paul is very aware of it as he's talking with them. And it's very present in our current world. Look at Sudan falling apart, so much unrest. I mean, if you listen to the BBC at all, they gave some testimony of some of the people trying to come out of Sudan. They had no water for 9 days. They had no power. The people experienced executions by soldiers of ordinary civilians. Many, many Americans, many, many other nationalities have been trapped in that city because of the breakdown of order. May that situation be restored to peace. And Ukraine, think about Ukraine and the missiles that fell and killed a mother and her little baby and killed 20 innocent people in their apartment. And a man survived it and he said, there's none of my neighbors left. May all the troops return home and all the borders be honored and may there be peace. There's a battle between light and darkness always in our world. And the scriptures always testify to it time and again. Here's a passage in Daniel 12, verse 3. And they that are wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. In one way, think about the universe, okay? We've got a new telescope out there sending us new photos and pictures of the billions of stars that are in our universe. But that's how abundant God is in his work. He's going to people the earth with people who have the light of Jesus shining in their hearts. till there is no way for us to count it. Only God can count it himself. And then Matthew 12, 13, verse 43. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The shining. Let this little light of mine, let it shine, let it shine. And then Proverbs 4, verse 18 says, the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. Proverbs 4, verse 18, just ongoing shining. And I did add Psalm 37, 6. He's going to make your righteousness, your pursuit of right standing with God like the light, and your judgment like the shining of the noonday sun. Just these passages point to the light of Christ and the light of the ones who follow him and the way that we shine our light into the world. Now, Paul is motivated and clear about his Damascus Road experience. He is describing it in this passage, and he says, I have not ever been disobedient to my vision from heaven, he says to Agrippa. And then he talks about going on from this experience into all the places he went to preach. But he says, Paul is completely unashamed to bring into the courtroom and set it up at the center of his public arraignment before the civic authorities his Damascus Road experience, where God shone a light around him. And Jesus himself spoke. He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, at this point on the ground, he says, who are you, Lord? And Jesus says, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. And this is when Paul saw the light. He met God there, and it turned his life upside down, inside out, and every which way. Saul became Paul. He began using his Roman name, not his Jewish name, because he was going to speak to the Gentiles. And he was transformed as a man. Transformed completely. And he's shining this light now in this setting before Festus and Agrippa. He's talking about the basic gospel, which is what I learned as a little boy growing up in church. Very simple. Repent and turn to God and demonstrate your repentance by your deeds. We learn this as Christians. We teach this to the generations that follow and to those who come into our midst. And we demonstrate it by how we live. We are asking all of us to respond to the gospel. In other words, the Christian life is to learn how to revere God, to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, to be honest about your sinfulness. He is a holy God. We are sinful people. We need Jesus Christ to be the bridge who draws us into his presence. And then we are to live out the Christian life in all obedience to him. He is the Son of God and the Son of Man leading us up. He's leading us always on into the light. And his light shines brighter and brighter all the time. But we are not to avoid the works of obedience that are come in response to the Lord, because he has saved us to show gratitude for what he's done for us, for what we cannot do for ourselves. And what we are called to do is to live for him. Our life in Christ can be best summarized by 1 Peter 4. We were studying this in our household group this past week. And in 1 Peter 4, Peter says, look, the end of all things is near, so do this. Be alert and pray. Love each other deeply. Offer hospitality without grumbling. Always have an open door. And use whatever gift you have received to serve others. If anyone speaks, they should speak as though they are speaking the very words of God. Guard your tongue. Use your tongue for blessing, because the tongue is a mighty power, and it can tear down or it can build up. It's a powerful thing. And he says, all the things we do, even when you're serving, do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. He ends with a doxology. And I believe, you know, you can be busy cleaning the church. You can be busy grinding the old paint off the railings, and you can still do it in the strength that God provides. You're asking God to help you and provide for you so that you can be a light shining in the world. And God gives us gifts to share with one another. Paul began to declare what Jesus Christ had revealed to him, that he had died for our sins but had risen for our reconciliation with God. The Lord Jesus goes before us and presents the necessary obligation of payment for our sins, his own life. And this is the light shining into the darkness. And he calls us to a repentance. And I love this expression of repentance. Repentance is not when you cry, but when you change. It's about the changed life. It's about Paul. He would go and he would testify in a synagogue and they might oppose him and they might throw him out of town or whatever, but he just kept testifying. He kept sharing. Even here, they had a plot to kill him. He was saved. He appealed to Caesar. Now he's in Caesarea. He's going to be shipped to Rome, but he's just sharing his life and sharing what he knows and continuing to testify that Jesus is the Christ and he's the way. And Paul was a wonderful tent maker. You ever heard of tent making ministry? That's what Paul did. He sewed tents. They used a lot of tents in the olden days. Cover for the heat. I can know that awnings and coverings are very important in our heat. And he was showing it in his changed life. We show it in our changed life. Repentance. Mark 1 says, time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. That's what Jesus began to preach, the kingdom of God. Repentance is saying death to sin and life to obedience. In Galatians 5, verse 24. Jesus gave his life freely of his own volition in honor of God, and he was not coerced. What Jesus showed us is his will was in submission to his Father. And he was there in the Garden of Gethsemane, troubled to drink this cup of the sins of the world. And then he says, but not my will, but yours be done, O Lord. He was submissive and obedient to his Father in heaven. And what Jesus shows us is an awesome gift for us. Paul goes on to say that he proclaimed this good news wherever he went. He proclaimed the good news that Jesus was delivered over to death for our sins, but was raised to life for our justification. Romans 4, 25. And in John 1, 5, the light that shines in the darkness cannot extinguish it. It cannot overcome it. It cannot put it out. And so Paul says, I proclaimed this good news wherever I went. I proclaimed it in Damascus. I went to Jerusalem and I shared it with the apostles. And then I was up in Antioch, Syrian Antioch, up at number 10. And then from there, I was sent into mission in Cyprus and Lycia, Pamphylia, all those little towns up there and beyond. And now he's going on to Rome. There's no stopping what sharing is going on. There's no stopping of the going forth of the light shining. Paul is going to go into all the lands of Gentiles. Of the Gentiles he's been able to visit. He ends up in Athens, Greece. He ends up in Rome. And he may have ended up in Spain. We don't know. But the Christian church just kept growing. Kept spreading throughout this whole world there. It kept on going. And it's not stopped yet. It was inexorable. It went from Rome, where Paul testified, to Londinium, up there in the British Isles. And Charlemagne, who ruled over the Carolingian Empire in the Middle Ages. And it went on, the gospel went on to Kiev and Stockholm and Oslo and Beijing and Nagasaki and to these Pacific islands. All across North America and South America. And there we are, here in these islands. knowing the gospel, living the gospel, sharing the light, knowing that Malachi 4 verse 2 has come true. For you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his rings. And for us, the prophecy has come true. Son of Righteousness has arisen with healing in his wings. And we shall go out and frolic like well-fed calves. We shall bring and experience joy. This is what Paul is doing, testifying. He's calling us to do the same with a calm spirit, a clear and a balanced mind. It's reasonable what he's talking about. And he is ready to face Festus, who's a little bit crazy. He gets all agitated and he says, "You're insane, Paul." You know, in his mind, there's some instability. And three years later, he was actually dead. They said they died from a lot of Romans had a disease, but he was not a stable man. And then Agrippa, you know, Paul just was steady, and he spoke, and he reasoned, and he said, "Listen, I'm just appealing to the prophets." And Agrippa, as I said, was a man who was thinking about what Paul was saying, as many others were, as what Paul did. He just reasoned it out, presented the gospel. And may we all have the same spirit and have the same approach. Amen. Dear Lord, thank you as we close this time of the word and prayer. We're thanking you that you present Paul shining a light, the light that he has been given, he's shining it. And reminding us that Jesus is the light of the world, and that the message we teach is very simple. Repent, believe, trust in the Lord, turn to him, and demonstrate then your life in Christ by how you live, what you say and what you do. Everything is of great consequence, Lord, in this time, this age. And we pray in gratitude to you. Next week we'll be celebrating 20 years preaching the word here. Being here, we thank you for the ministry that has gone forth through so many people. So many people who were here 20 years ago are not here now. But we have everyone gathered here together now, and we are thanking you for our gathering. And we thank you for the various gifts that have been used to help us in our worship. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to help us use our gifts in whatever we do. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen.